No Syntax is brought to you by Caffeine Driven Media, where decaf does not exist and our dojo does it.
We do not train to be merciful here. Mercy is for the weak. Here, on the street, in competition, a man confronts you, he is the enemy. An enemy deserves no mercy. What is the problem, Mr. Lawrence?
Do I make you horny, baby? Do I? Do I make you randy?
Hello and welcome to No Syntax. I am Landon Isles, your host. Welcome to episode 26, given on this day, 12 July 2020. I'm glad to be here to talk to you all about shit, reading your emails and discussing your comments and points of view. Why? Because you make this show great. Good morning, everybody. At least, is it morning? Yeah, it's morning still. It's a little bit after 11 o'clock. Lots to talk about. Yes, a lot. And I'm not even sure where to start. I'm really excited to talk about some of this stuff. And at that same point, I'm really not wanting to talk about it because one of them is a sensitive issue. And it's an issue that we've been dealing with since we've been on quarantine. And it just overall, it just sucks. You know, and the other thing I'm not prepared for is emails. I was supposed to pull up an email. Let me find it. Hopefully it's here. I got two emails, as a matter of fact. So yeah, here we go. All right. Now I'm ready. Okay. I think I'm prepared. Yak. Okay. Shall we get started? So yeah, good morning, everybody. I hope everybody is doing well. It has been a considerably long time between the last podcast and this one. And before I read the emails, I just want to gritch with a capital B. I want to bitch about technical support. Absolutely, positively technical support. Specifically, Blink, which is a passive wireless security system. If you do wireless, it's going to be passive. It's not going to be real time. Although they have done, and so, wow, you're just jumping right into it. Yes, I am. Okay. So let me back up. So what's gone on is I have a Blink security system in the house that I'm renting. I decided to just go with a wireless, passive system simply because I don't want to hardwire anything in a house that I don't own. That's just, you know, my thing. And I saw some really good ratings about it. I saw some halfway decent ratings, and I saw some ratings where people were completely bashing this Blink XT2 camera system. And I'm like, okay, I don't normally go by what a lot of people say when it's negative because opinions vary. Okay. I'm just going to say that opinions vary. And I don't necessarily go with the opinions, where they do like say 4 or 5 stars. Oh, greatest thing, but they don't elaborate. And I've discussed this on previous podcasts before. So I'm looking for something and I'm wanting to get it in a decent amount of time. And I figured, well, the balance is there in regarding to ratings, I guess. So let me just make my own determination. Let me decide, you know, how this works. And honestly, it worked absolutely great. I didn't have any issues with setting it up. It worked really, really well. They did push some firmware updates for the camera where I can actually get real time notifications if somebody's approaching the house. So I was happy with that. I was like, hey, this is great. Absolutely phenomenal. And come last week, frickin', I'll be damned if two of my cameras were no longer working. So right now I only have 3 and I have them in pretty relative locations, normal locations. I have one inside the house that covers a certain area. I have two outside the house, one that overlooks a driveway and one that, is, you know, front door. I have additional cameras to add, but right now until I get a wireless repeater to boost my Wi-Fi signal through the house because there are some dead zones, I'm just not going to do it. just yet. But anyway, going back, camera one, camera three completely cannot access the camera. It's not scanning, catching anything, and it's completely pissing me off. So I'm running through the gambit of, okay, maybe the batteries aren't all that great. And to be clear, to point this out, for those of you, if you decide to get a wireless system for your home, there are better, and obviously you're going to pay more. If you're looking for a relatively cheap option, Blink XT2 is the way to go. So anyway, they utilize, and they strictly say inside the camera, utilize 1.5 volt lithium batteries only. Lithium ion. They're supposed to last longer. They don't falter like normal, regular alkaline batteries do, right? So, and it comes with the batteries. So that's cool, right? So I'm okay with that. Anyway, so going back, these cameras, one and three are out. Two is fine. Don't understand it. Two is absolutely working perfectly. No issues whatsoever, but one and three are just gone. So I'm trying to troubleshoot. I'm looking in the manual that comes with the Blink cameras. I will tell you, the manual that comes with the Blink cameras doesn't tell you shit. Doesn't tell you squat. Zero. Zilch. Nine. Niet. Nothing. Okay. It gives you the basic setup and that's it. So really, you have to go online to the Blink website or to these forums and you find a PDF that walks you through some additional steps to troubleshoot your network, your camera network. Because obviously you're using your ISP.
Excuse me.
Don't mean to sniff in your ear. You're using your ISP, to communicate with the cloud. And when you log into the service, Blink, which is an Amazon company, fucking Amazon, they could help monitor your system if you have any issues, and they got 24/7 support. So I'm having issues. I'm doing everything. I'm rebooting the router. I'm redoing the sync module. I'm taking the batteries out of the camera. I even hit the little reset button, which come to find out from the technician, and I'll talk about them in a minute. Oh, you are not supposed to do that, sir. That is only as a last resort. Okay, Miss Genius, why do you have it listed in your manual if it's a last resort? And if it's a last resort, why isn't there anything in the manual in big, bold, cap, red letters that tells you not to do it unless it's a last resort? I just don't understand that. So anyway, completely frustrated, I finally give in and I call customer service. And I get this first lady. Now, here's the thing. I don't have anything against third world countries, but fuck me if I'm not talking to somebody that is from frickin' India. And some people from India have some pretty heavy accents, or they have an accent by which when they enunciate certain words, you're like, I'm sorry, can you repeat what you just said? Because I really didn't fucking understand what you just told me, right? Nothing against it. I get it. It's cheaper. It's outsourced. But I'm speaking to this lady on the phone, and she's having me go through the whole scenario again. And I'm like, God dang it. I get it. You're a technician. You have to go by the book. They want you to go through all these steps. And to be clear, before we even got started, I told this technician one, okay, I'll call her technician one or technician alpha. I told her exactly what I did. I told her where I went to get the information. This is what I've done prior to calling you, and I did it not even a couple of hours ago. But because she's a technician, she has rules to follow, she has to walk me through the entire gambit again, which, you know what? I was okay with it to an extent because maybe there's a step that I missed. Maybe because I'm a man and I don't like to read directions all the time. I just want shit to fucking work. That, okay, I'm going to let her walk me through this. She has a calm sense about her. You know, maybe this will happen. We went through all the steps, nothing. And I even told her about the little reset button inside the camera, and I did that, and I had the cameras working. The reset button worked. It took the firmware to its original state inside the camera, and now I had all three cameras working. And then after they updated the firmware, the camera stopped. And I said, shit, this is not cool. So the whole point of going through this walkthrough with Technician Alpha was to determine whether or not the cameras were faulty, right? Well, here's the thing. We get to this point where she's like, hey, sir, can you download this app because I need to scan your network? To me, that was a red flag. I don't want anybody scanning shit on my network, right? That makes me nervous. Download an app to my phone. I'm giving you access to my network. That doesn't necessarily make me feel comfortable. But I want my freaking wireless system to function. So I'm like, okay, no problem. So she wants to scan the network. And it's a Blink application through the company. So I should not have been worried about it. But I still was anyway. And she scans my network. And she goes, sir, you have a firewall. And I'm like, thank you, Captain Obvious. I know this. What do you need to disable it? And I'm like, why do I need to disable it? Because that may be keeping your camera one and camera two from accessing, you know, and syncing properly. And I'm like, so how do you explain camera two working and camera one and camera three not working? And then I could tell she was getting a little frustrated with me because I was having a hard time finding the address or gaining access to my router from a web portal to disable the firewall. Because she's like, well, sir, you need to disable your firewall. We need to troubleshoot this. And I'm like, I can't get access to it for whatever reason. Well, sir, call your internet service provider. And I mean, I don't mean to sound racist by trying to imitate her voice. I could probably be Apu from frickin' The Simpsons and really get deep and down and dirty, but I'm not going to. But you get the gist of what's going on in this conversation, right? So anyway, I'm like, well, I need to call them. I don't know how long it's going to take. And she was like, well, how long do you think it's going to be? And I said, maybe 30, 45 minutes. It depends on what their workload is, right? Kind of like you all. And she said, okay, I have your phone number. I will call you back in about 30 to 45 minutes. I said, okay. 2 hours passed. Not one fucking phone call. None. Zero. I'm like, son of a bitch. So I go through and I'm doing the troubleshooting again because, again, I'm being very, you know, aggressive with my camera system. I want it to work. I paid for it. I want it to work. Turns out I solved the issue on my own. And come to find out, for those of you who have Verizon Fios, there was an update, and I'm not sure if it's geographically, whether they did this all around. I know they did it in our area. My wireless router emits two signals, a 2.4 gigahertz signal and a 5 gigahertz signal. Now, if my memory serves me correct, a 5 gigahertz signal is faster, but the range isn't as wide as a 2.4 gigahertz signal. So the cameras have to work with the 2.4 gigahertz signal. Now, technically, when I'm syncing everything together, I'm asking it to go onto the wireless network for the 2.4 gigahertz signal. But what Verizon did was they went to a single organized network called Sun for short. Just in case I hear my dogs, I might have to take them outside here really quick. So we might have a brief pause. But anyway, I just heard them moving. Anyway, so where was I? Oh, yeah. So this organized network takes the signals and combines it into one SSID. So instead of having two SSIDs and trying to figure out, you know, which mobile device or computer needs to connect to what, obviously it's going to depend on your hardware as to what it will connect to, but you can have it connect to one or the other. But the Sun puts it all together and it's basically a single signal. It still has that interoperability, but under one ID. So what I did was I disabled the Sun and had two different signals, and then re-enabled the Sun, and then my cameras worked. Now, this happened when I called Technician Bravo, and Technician Bravo had a very pleasant voice. She would almost pass for American, right? Very clear, very articulate, but we started going through the entire process and she started asking questions and she started acting like a little pompous little bitch. And I'm like, I was nice to both these technicians. I wasn't being rude. But it came out that the cameras worked and I'm like, wow, I'm sorry to bother you. All of a sudden it worked. And I pinpointed it to being that little button on my router. Well, not on the router, but in the FiOS software. Not the FiOS software. What am I trying to fucking say? The login, the portal, right? You have the ability to enable it. I enabled it or disabled it and enabled it. And then all of a sudden all the cameras started working. So that's going to be my go-to. So all my cameras are working, but what's the point of me talking about technicians? They fucking suck. Amazon, with as much money as you fucking make, if Blink is something that's an extension of your company, with as much money as you make, with what we're going through right now in COVID, fucking hire American freaking workers who can freaking speak English and fucking I can understand them. I mean, I don't have a problem with third world countries coming in. That's what you pay for. I deal with them as best as I possibly can. Sometimes if their accents are so thick, I can't freaking understand. I will say, look, I'm sorry. I need to go. I cannot understand you. It's not your fault, right? I mean, what do you do at that point? But I'm sitting here thinking in a world right now where a lot of people are unemployed. And let me tell you something about these technicians. They were at home. They're not working in a building. They're not working where you hear people in the background or anything like that. These individuals are at home. I'm hearing whiny little kids on technician A in the background. She's having to mute every once in a while. So to me, she wasn't really focused. And you know what? Fuck you, technician A, for not calling me back. You bitch. Damn it. I'm ranty today. I told somebody I was going to be ranty today. So I'm ranty today. Fuck. I apologize. But no, I'm not going to apologize for it. I mean, I get it. You're saving money. You're outsourcing your technical support. But sometimes the juice just isn't worth the fucking squeeze. I mean, I get it. Anyhow, so I'm not trying to sell Blink XT2 cameras. Like I said, I got them because this isn't my house. I don't want to be running cable and wiring through soffit, through vinyl siding or anything of that nature, trying to find access points and all that. To me, I would much rather, if I'm going to get a house built, do that while I'm getting a house built, pre-running the wire, and then having something more a solid state real-time security. And that's just my point. And it was just something for me to bitch about because God, it drove me crazy just to get these cameras back online. Anyhow. coffee. God bless. Yes. Thank you. I can't wait to talk about this. I'm really excited about this cold brew stuff because, I'll hold off. Yeah. Cause if I talk about it now, I'm going to be in trouble. Well, I'm not going to be in trouble. I'm going to get off track with what would you come on Face ID? I'm trying to pull up emails. I'm stalling. Okay. All right. So how about we go to emails before I rant about some other shit? Shall we? And I think I may have, I'm really reaching back for this. I got the idea off another podcast, that I listened to, where this gentleman utilized the sound file from WGBH Boston. And it's got this little quick little music thing. And I'm not going to try and pull it up and play it for you. But I was like, wow, it's been a while since I heard that. And then I started thinking about TV shows that I grew up with in the 70s and the early 80s. A couple of them, well, the one where he got WGBH Boston, I think, was a TV show called Zoom. I'm not going to sing the song for you, but if you Google Zoom TV show, you'll see what I'm talking about. But there were a couple of other shows, The Big Blue Marble and Vegetable Soup. And Vegetable Soup in particular has a similar, intro, before the show starts to the WGBH Boston. And I was like, hey, I could probably use that sound for email, but I want to add something to it. So I'm still searching, trying to find the right sounds to have a segue into listener emails. Anyway, shall we get to it And Landon, shut up and stop freaking, you know, yapping. Okay. Anyway, I cracked myself up. Okay. She says, hi, Landon. Oh, by the way, this is from Leslie, our favorite librarian. She says, a day late listening to your podcast, as I recall, I did a whole lot of nothing yesterday, but the days do run together in quarantine. Quarantiner is a word. Now, okay, so I mentioned in the last episode where I talked about two types of quarantiners, if that was even a word, and fuck it, I was going to use it anyway. So she does say, quarantiner is a word. I checked the Oxford English Dictionary, 20 volumes in print, now one of our subscription databases. The word first appeared in the English language in 1831. I researched just about anything as a matter of course. It was in my librarian DNA. It was the best part of research assignments in college, and I could get lost. I don't have my glasses on. I could get lost looking up stuff and darting down various rabbit holes. Writing the papers was always the hardest part, and staying awake in some classes. I totally read that. Sorry, Leslie. I'm having a moment. Writing the papers was always the hardest part, and staying awake in some classes. I can count on one hand the classes that that made a lasting impact on me. She goes on to say, well, let's back up. So yeah, quarantiners and looking up words. You know, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box. I'm a few fries short of a happy meal, and I don't pretend to be an expert or know anything about anything. I think I've said it before. I'm pretty much an idiot savant. And I find myself in conversation with people and even doing this podcast, trying to use different words or utilizing different words that have the same meaning, but don't get used as often because, you know, it's the humdrum of conversation where we use very basic language to speak to one another. And every so often I find myself trying to reach, not to try to sound sophisticated, but to try to expand my vocabulary. And I fail miserably. Even though I read lots of books or listen to a lot of audiobooks, I still wind up failing miserably. It's a problem that I have. So I probably need to do what you do, Leslie, in going through the English language, see how I screw shit up? Oxford English Dictionary. And I think I have dictionaries on my bookshelf, but they're not updated. They don't have the word muggle in them. I think the new ones have muggle in them now. But anyway, so yeah, I always find myself at a loss with this. But when it comes to speaking and trying to use different words that have the same meaning, it's just me trying to expand my horizons as I get older. I started late. Sorry. She goes on to say, conspiracy theorists. We had one working for us a few years back. He could drive you batshit crazy with his nonsense. He left UIW to get a master's degree and, once he had it in hand, wanted us to hire him for a professional position. That was never going to happen. We like sane and competent librarians, though some of us are more competent than others. You know, speaking of conspiracy theory, excuse me, coffee. There seemed to be a wealth of conspiracies going on with us being on quarantine. And are we still on quarantine? I guess we kind of are. We're in a phase. Some states are in different phases than others, and with good reason. And I know we had a resurgence of COVID spikes in Florida and in other states because, you know, hey, let's open the beaches. Hey, let's open the bars. And now people are coming in sick, and it spiked into the thousands or whatever. But yeah, conspiracy theorists don't bother me so much. Oh my God. My eldest dog is under my desk sleeping. And I know this is probably TMI, but I will tell you, there is nothing worse. And I love her to death. She is my sweet pea. She is my princess, but she has the most vile farts you can ever have crossed your nasal passages. Oh my God. And she is under my desk, and she is just, oh, SBD from hell. And I know what she eats. She eats great. She eats fine. She's a picky eater, so we have to switch foods up all the time with her. I mean, between I won't even get into that. That's a different conversation. But oh my God, it is so vile. Just thought I'd share that with you. Anyway, conspiracy theorist. I don't mind conspiracy theorists. I think there are some that are interesting and can generate really good conversation. But some people are just really, really out there flapping. There's just really no content or context or I can't even see. I have a hard time finding the words. There's just no content or context to what they're doing. It's just like they pulled it out of their ass and said, let me slap a conspiracy on this. You know, so I can see where she's coming from. You just don't want idiots like that because there are those. And even people with tinfoil hats can really run the dog on why they feel this is a conspiracy. And it sounds very well thought out and put together. And other people are just fucking nuts. Bottom line. Anyway, she goes on to say, I can only think of two people I unfriended on Facebook. One would post sick making photos / stories of animal abuse. Yes, he wanted to stop. Yes, he wanted it to stop. No, I couldn't stand seeing those horrific pictures. You know, speaking of which, I get it. If it's one thing that really, gets my heart rate going, gets my muscles tense and puts me in a rage is people abusing animals. And there was one video, and I don't fucking understand people these days. There was a video, not sure what happened, but here, let me paint a picture for you. A guy is in his car, what looks to be on a crowded street, right? There's cars just back-to-back traffic, and he's in his vehicle, and he sees something happening with the lady in the vehicle in front of him, who is having an altercation or words with the lady in the vehicle in front of her. Now, from the camera angle, you cannot see what's transpiring. All of a sudden, this big black woman is carrying a dog by the leash, basically hanging this dog. And it's a little dog. It's not very big. But I mean, just grabbed this other lady's dog, pulled the leash out of her hand or whatever. You don't see it, but I'm assuming that's what happened. And she's taking her dog back to her car. And then the lady comes out screaming, give me my dog. And this lady is turning around and swinging her dog like a morning star at her owner. Like, what kind of fucking person do you have to be to do that to an animal? I don't care if it's yours or not. Who the fuck do you think you are? You could tell I'm already getting pissed off about it. But what the fuck puts it in a person's mind that's the right thing to do to an animal? I mean, I'm so glad they're passing laws on animal abuse. I am so thankful for that. But the point of the whole, I mean, if it were me in that car, videoing it, I would have gotten out that car and shit would have fucking happened. I don't give a fuck who you are. I don't give a care if you're a man or a woman, black, white, Asian, doesn't fucking matter. You don't do that to an animal. I'm going to give you a taste of your own medicine the best way I possibly can. I don't give a shit. I will lay down my life for an animal in a heartbeat. I will not think twice, and it doesn't have to be my dog, period, or cat, or any animal whatsoever. I cannot stand fucking seeing that. And I just couldn't believe it. So I do what I can. If people post that shit, I hide it. I block it. You know, but sometimes they autoplay. And once I see it, I'm locked in and I'm in a fit of rage. It really, really upsets me. You know, okay. Yeah. I just told something about myself. People can push my buttons. I can control it. But at the same time, I'm looking at this going, Jesus. Yeah, so no, I completely get it. And I mean, I'm not going to unfriend the individual that posted it because it wasn't somebody that a friend of mine that posted it. It came up on my feed. And I mean, I don't watch feeds like that very often. The feeds I look, I mean, you know, there's one of a freaking golden retriever named Tucker Butson, and his owner does some pretty cool videos. And so I watched that. So how do you associate Facebook? How do you associate me watching cute animals doing crazy shit, or their owners putting voices or words over their face, like they're having a conversation, which I think is pretty cool. I watch those every once in a while. How can you freaking translate that as, oh, hey, here's something you should view? A dog being swung around like a morning star at its owner by another individual. What the fuck, Facebook? Get it together. And now I'm being nice about saying that. Anyway, let's see. Another was an old white fart who felt the need to mansplain and lecture. My own father didn't do that. Ed was capable of engaging in intelligent debate with women and really appreciated smart women. He did marry my mother, and he had two smart daughters. She also goes on to say, thank you for the link to the article, COVID-19 in all its various aspects is, excuse me, let me back up and read that correctly. Thank you for the link to that article. COVID-19 in all of its various aspects is now a topic of great interest in my composition classes. One of my favorite faculty members has his students writing on it and their favorite conspiracy theory during his Maymester class. He is one of the best teachers I've worked with, and he definitely keeps me on my toes when we're in the classroom together. On the working from home front, we've been told to expect an announcement in the near future. I would love to get back on campus, as I'm weary of being at home. I'm in the same boat. But something has happened where I work, and this is odd because being military, you know, we're not accustomed to this. This is like a first in history. You know, I'm sure, you know, my ancestors are rolling in their grave going, what are you doing working from home? Well, I pretty much buff a chair with my ass now, so it doesn't matter. But it is very odd being a green suitor in uniform, working from home, you know, being mission essential and not feeling like you're mission essential, but working from home. And I will say productivity, and I've talked about this before, productivity is better because there's less of the work distraction, which seems to take place more or happen more than distractions at home. And I'm fine with that. But I just couldn't, I still can't grasp the concept. I don't like having to do it every day. I feel as though, not so much now, I think I've found a rhythm, but before I felt really tethered to my computer, feeling like I have to answer stuff like right away that, oh, I can't leave. And I don't know why. I think just because I felt like I was being monitored, you know, putting the tinfoil hat on. And in some cases, I think that is true. It's like they look at your login, when you log in, how long you've been logged in, probably what software you're accessing. So I made it a point to just say, hey, there's documents that are not classified. They're not for your eyes only. They're freaking policy letters, whatever the case may be. Or if I'm having to write an excerpt, I don't need to look at my work laptop, mini little 12-inch, not even a 12-inch screen. I'm going to do it on my personal computer. So I draft it on my personal computer, and it's right across from my work computer. And so, yeah, I can monitor both. But I'm at the point where I kind of like, I want to get back to work. The thing is, my supervisor, my head honcho, who's a civilian, is really like, hey, if you don't need to come into work, there's no need for it. However, if you're able to come in or you need to come in, we need to know when you're coming in, how long you're going to be there for, you know, that type of stuff. And I mean, they want to monitor the situation, and I get it. But it would just feel odd that only a couple of people would be in there. And they're trying to phase everybody in by certain percentages and everything. And I'll be happy to kind of get back to that, because I will feel as though that this is really normal for me, because I'm military. I'm not supposed to work from home. I'm supposed to be at my place of business. I'm supposed to be, you know, at my duty location doing what I'm supposed to be doing. So it still leaves me a little uncomfortable. And I know I'm going back and forth saying yes, saying no, but it's kind of a mix. It's a mix of emotions at this point for me. And so, yeah, there's advantages of being home. I have a routine, but there's the big disadvantage of, you know, having that social interaction with people at the office that you really like working with. And even those you don't really like working with, you know, you have that interaction. So, but yeah, I would say I know we're supposed to be starting our transition. Not sure when the next phase is going to come fully into effect and they increase our percentages. I just don't want to look, I'm going to do what I'm told. And I know a lot of people out there are pushing the whole wear your mask, wear your mask, wear your mask. You know, it's not just about you. And I get it. But I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'll wear it. I'm not going to wear it while I drive to work. That's fucking insane. Asininely fucking stupid to have your freaking face covered in your car. Why? Why? Come on. What's it going to do? Why? Oh, I don't want to spread it to my kids. Okay. Maybe I get that, but I just think it looks idiotic. It really, really does. And if you're, and I see people who are the only ones in their vehicles wearing their mask. Maybe they're getting used to it. Maybe they're getting used to breathing. I don't know. But really, no, I will not wear my mask when I'm driving. I will put on my mask to walk from my vehicle to my building. I will get to my office and I will take the fucking thing off. And then if somebody comes in my office, if I need to, I will put it back on. But I am not going to try and wear a mask all fucking day. Look, in Afghanistan, in Kuwait, and even here, I wear a mask to train my body for higher elevations. I just like doing it. It helps me control my breathing. It is a mask utilized for working out. I'm not going to have a problem breathing through a normal mask, having to wear it for the sake of protection of COVID. I'm not. But I think it's fucking asinine to have to wear a mask while you're driving a vehicle or feel as though you have to wear a mask driving a vehicle. You know, I think there's a time and place. There's people I know that are going into buildings that once they get in the building, they take the damn thing off. Unless you're going to be in close proximity to somebody. In other words, common sense, people. Common sense. And yes, if you're going into a business and they ask you to wear it, fucking put it on. Yes, I'm going to fucking put it on. If I want access to Home Depot and spend money on tools, I'm going to do what I can to gain access to those tools. I'm going to wear the mask as much as I don't like it. But as soon as I get freaking back in my car, that shit's coming off. As soon as I get outside the door, that shit's coming off because I have no need to be inside their building. No, look, I get it. I'm just saying, you know, I think it's a little much. I think it's much that we ask TV personalities to go out there, wear your mask, wear your mask. People posting on Facebook, wear your mask, wear your mask. Look, I get it. Either you're going to do the right thing or you're not. It's the whole Mr. Danzig thing with the, and I'm probably should read this. It's really, really cool. And it puts everything in perspective. It's so simple. Let me just read this to you. Let me see if I could find it. Actually, let's finish the email for you and then I'll go back to that. Or, you know what? Sometimes I hate this, but anyway. Okay, so let me read this. This is really cool. And I know I'm going off track. I know I'm going off total crap, but I really like this. So Glenn Danzig, Danzig, lead singer of Danzig. If you're not familiar with his work, look him up. Some pretty cool songs up there, but he explains, and I'm not sure if he came up with this. Coffee. Have I been talking too long? I've only been talking for like 37 minutes. And I mean, I'm not even anywhere near where I want to be in the show, but that's okay. We got time. So Glenn Danzig writes this. The shopping cart is the ultimate litmus test for whether a person is capable of self-governing. To return the shopping cart is an easy, convenient task and one which we all recognize as the correct, appropriate thing to do. To return the shopping cart is objectively right. There are no situations other than dire emergencies in which a person is not able to return their cart. Simultaneously, it is not illegal to abandon your shopping cart. Therefore, the shopping cart presents itself as the apex example of whether a person will do what is right without being forced to do it. No one will punish you for not returning the shopping cart. No one will fine you or kill you for not returning the shopping cart. You gain nothing by returning the shopping cart. You must return the shopping cart out of the goodness of your own heart. You must return the shopping cart because it is the right thing to do, because it is correct. A person who is unable to do this is no better than an animal, an absolute savage, who can only be made to do what is right by threatening them with a law and the force that stands behind it. The shopping cart is what determines whether a person is a good or bad member of society. I completely agree with that statement. It's very simple. I mean, something as simple as a shopping cart puts everything in perspective if the right person can articulate it. So yes, I'm going to do the right thing. I will put my shopping cart where it needs to go after I'm done using it. That's the way I've been. And it had nothing to do with me working at a grocery store when I was in high school, right? I mean, it just is what it is. You know, it's a common courtesy. It's a respect for others. And that's what it is. Yes, I will have respect for an individual who asks me to put on a mask. No problem. But if I don't have to wear it, if I'm in a location where I really don't need it, if I'm not in close proximity, I'm not keeping the damn thing on. Now, I'm not saying anybody's telling me to keep the damn thing on all the time. I'm not getting at that. But there are some moments where I'm just like, you know what? This is getting fucking annoying. It's kind of like being a soldier where they tell you, hey, we're going to the field, and you always have to have your gear on no matter where you're going. And you just really hate wearing that gear because it's not very well made for comfort in that respect. And it's digging in your shoulders. It's weighing down on your back. You know, the helmet's so damn heavy, it freaking hurts your neck and you're ready to fall asleep. I'm going off on a tangent. Let me shut up. Let's get back to Leslie. How about that? Okay. So she says she would love to get back on campus, as I am worried of being home. Sometime in June is what the rumor mill says. We do know that the library won't be open to non-library personnel or students. There is no way to keep it clean and sanitized. The powers that be will make a decision about the fall semester by the end of June. Students think themselves invincible, and the prospect of having to work with them as we normally do is a rather frightening with COVID-19 lurking about. She goes on to say, I did have the cataract surgery, multiple complications with the first eye and limited vision for several days. Second eye, everything went as it should, as I could see immediately. I will still need glasses. I wasn't about to drop $2,000 plus on artificial lenses that would correct the astigmatism. Perfect vision, lenses. God, I can't talk. Lenses. I was about to say something else. That correct far, middle, near would have set me back $6,000 plus. Ouch. Thank you for the entertainment. Be safe and be well. Your favorite librarian, Leslie. And again, all errors courtesy of autocorrect. Leslie, thank you for your email. We do have another one. Very short, very quick. And someone I haven't heard from or spoken to in a long time. Miss Brenda Herrera writes, love the podcast. Hey, Landon, I just finished listening to your latest podcast. Instant fan here. Please tell me which mic you are using. Love the show. Talk to you soon, Brenda. Okay. As far as the mic that I'm using, I am using a, hold on. I got the box here. Okay. The mic that I'm using is made by a company called InnoGear. Now, this mic is a standard studio mic, which means it's not USB. It connects directly into a mixer, a sound mixer. However, if you're interested in doing your own podcast, and you don't want to have to deal with a mixer, you don't have to deal with all these cables and equipment, really the best economical way to go, and I have it as a backup, is, it is the Snowball USB microphone. It is a decent, it's a decent microphone for the price. Comes in multiple colors, so if you have a fancy for like a red, a blue, a chrome, or white, it's a fairly big mic, has a tripod stand, connects via USB, and it works great. It works absolutely great. So I use it on my laptop mostly, not on my desktop. So if I'm mobile, I can easily pack up that mic and have it. versus, you know, and it'll be sans mixer and everything. And it does just as good a job as having, you know, an actual studio type microphone. So I hope that answered your question. If you have anything more, want more information about the equipment I use, the software I use, I've spoken about some of the software like Audacity that I utilize to record the podcast. That will work well with a USB mic or a studio mic. Either way, you can get it to recognize it. It's very easy. So if you want, send me an email and I'll give you the details, or maybe I'll revisit all the equipment that I use and talk about it again on the show in a little bit more detail. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Brenda, for your email. Love to hear from you. Miss you so much. Brenda, I met through my brother back in El Paso when I was at the Academy. Excellent individual. And she's got books out. So she worked as a massage therapist. Brenda, don't kill me if I get that wrong. Let me find something really quick because, I think she's got two books out. Hold on. You know, when you want something to come up on your doggone phone really quick, it doesn't help. Okay. So one of her friends posted on her, so her book is called The Six Human Needs. What are the six human needs? Free human needs test included. Discover which two needs are dominant in your life. And more, free for the asking. So Unravel the Six Human Needs, Discover which two needs rule you by Brenda Herrera. It looks like, I'll probably put this in the show notes so you can find it. I'm sorry, Brenda, if I wasn't prepared, to discuss that. I just totally had a brain fart, but no, I will bring it up. You could also find her on Facebook. It would be Brenda Herrera. And she is an SI coach. What's SI? My aim is to develop practical strategies so that the human needs are balanced. So yeah, you can find her at brendaiherrera.com. Talk with brenda.launchpad.inboxblueprint.net. Let me click that link. So yeah, so I will put that in the show notes. She'll talk. It has a brief. Write up on the book and where you can get it and get access. Okay, cool. All right. Yeah. Brenda Herrera. And I think she had another book too. Brenda, you'll have to tell me if you're listening to this, you're going to have to give me more information on this so I can put it out there for you. Cause I hate the iPhone app. Anyhow. Okay, moving on. What else did I say I was going to talk about today? I really want to get into this coffee maker. But before I do, I'm getting ready to rant some more. Let me get some more coffee. Hold on. Brenda, no, I am so sorry. I'm sorry I undersold that for you. I will do better next time. I promise. I'll get on the next show and do that. So my apologies again. I just really feel bad about that. It just happened to hit as soon as I saw her email exactly what I needed to discuss, and I failed miserably. Brenda, I apologize. Please forgive me. Don't kill me. Okay. Black Lives Matter. It's a touchy situation at best. And I have been in conversations with multiple friends from diverse backgrounds in regards to the incident that happened with George Floyd and how the riots came about and how things have escalated between the black community and the white community. And I'll be honest with you, look, I know I'm lighthearted when I say, look, I didn't fucking stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, so I am no expert in what it means or what it feels like to be a black man in the black community, right? And having to deal with the things that I have seen in person, you know, and it boggles the mind that, you know, racism in this day and age is still there. It's still ever present. And it sucks, right? But the part where I think everything is escalated, and I'm choosing my words carefully, and maybe I should say fuck it and not. But I look at this as, what is the core problem? What is the core situation? Because look, it's not about fucking street signs. It's not about statues. It's not about names of military installations. It's not about fucking names of football teams being offensive. It's not about that. I mean, to me, it's not about that. That is not the genesis of this entire problem. The problem is what this police officer did to Mr. George Floyd, putting his knee in a young black man's neck, causing him to not be able to breathe and later lose his life. That is the crux of the situation. It doesn't take a fucking genius to figure it out. That's the problem. That police officer was wrong six ways from Sunday. His fellow police officers who were standing around watching this happen were equally to blame. Now, allegedly, this police officer, I don't remember his name, not fucking important, but this police officer did not have or does not have a stellar career record. Allegedly, right? So my question would be, one, why is he still on the fucking police force? Two, why is he on the streets? I mean, why would you put somebody that caliber of cop on the street that is going to turn around and evidently abuse his position of power as a police officer when he's supposed to be there to serve and protect? I don't understand it, but that's the fucking problem. The problem is not street signs. It may be an issue, but that is not the problem. The problem is, what do we do about the police officers? Now, to be fair, the media does not help the situation, because what sells is what they're going to fucking exploit. I've said this time and time again. The media is absolutely wrong. The media is freaking trash. It's garbage. The caliber of reporters that are out there today do not give a fucking shit, because it's all about ratings. It's all about sales. It's all about sponsors. They're not going to go out and talk about good news stories of what the good cops are doing. They're always going to find the bad cops. It's always going to be the one that is going to further push that dagger into a wound and twist it and make this problem worse, more than what it needs to be. They are part of the problem. They perpetuate the problem. And then there's these people out there who are further perpetuating the problem by going after, because they're so angry with what happened that they're going out there and viciously beating other people. Why? They are not the problem. The problem started with a police officer putting his knee in a young black man's neck, in Mr. Floyd's neck, causing him to lose his life. What are we doing to fix the police force? What are we doing to better assess potential recruits? Because I will tell you, the Army right now, and I don't know how much I could say, so I'll be very basic. The Army is working on a program right now to assess officers and senior non-commissioned officers at the sergeant major level, even below that, for leadership positions, in an effort to mitigate, deter, eliminate, possibly, toxic leadership at those levels. They're utilizing an assessment that certain organizations in the military use to assess personnel before coming to work in their environment. And not to say that people aren't going to slip through the cracks. There will be those, because granted, those specialized units do get their a-holes every once in a while. But when they get those a-holes, guess what? That person is not going to last very long. That person will not have a future in their organization. They will be quickly pushed out and, you know, handed their hat. Why not bring something like that to assess potential recruits? If you want to fix the police, fix the problem. Identify those police officers who have a bad fucking record and reprimand them, get rid of them, give them, for ones that are continuously what's the word that we use in the military? Failure to repair. Get rid of them. You don't need them. Get some better recruits in. Make a better assessment process. Defunding the police is not the answer. Maybe taking that money and putting it to an assessment program for potential recruits trying to come into the police force, so that you don't have this problem. Because the only problems that we see right now are the ones the media is willing to show us, right? Now, some free media outlets are turning around and showing the good side of what's going on. You have black people that do believe in the police, that are not taking a racial stance and saying, fuck the police, and pitting themselves against others. You have those that see that for what it is. But then you have others that are so angry that they want to turn around and riot and cause problems, they're just not robbing white people. They're just not burning things down and destroying cars. They're doing it to their own. They're violating people in their own black community. Why? What message are you really sending? It doesn't help the cause. Look, I support Black Lives Matter. I firmly believe what that means is that we're talking about we're worried about the lives of the individuals who come in contact with the police, because these police, not the entire police force, but the ones that they're showing are always the ones that come in contact with the bad cops. I get it. I understand what that means to an extent. I don't fully get it, right? I'm a white guy. I'm not going to say I fully understand. Again, I didn't stay at a fucking Holiday Inn Express last night. But I do understand what you're talking about. If I were to reverse the role where a white police officer, black police officer, doesn't matter, was just killing people at random because, oh, I pulled you over and you were speeding, or I pulled you over and because you wouldn't hand me your ID, I took you out and beat the shit out of you. There is the problem. The problem is with that police officer. Doesn't matter if they're black, if they're white, if they're Asian, if they're Hispanic. If they are abusing their position of power, we need to figure out what to do with them specifically. And we need the support of the mayors. We need the support of the police chief to make sure they do what is right. And not be so fucking reactionary. Think this through. There's been comments and this one, you know what? I really don't give a shit about this one. This one is kind of funny to me. I know it's been brought up before in the past where organizations have come to Department of Defense, Department of the Army, and have asked for the United States Army to change the names of, military installations. And I understand why. But I sat here and I have a conversation with one of my NCOs. Who is a member of the black community. He's a young black man, freaking awesome guy. I can't say that enough. But I said, hey, I want to have a conversation with you, man to man, person to person. Okay. Rank aside. I want to know what you feel. And if you've got to cuss, if you've got to say things, if you got to use slang, if you have to term what you're trying to say in a racial way, it's not going to offend me. I want to know where you're coming from. And we got to talking about the renaming of the military installations. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've been in close to 34 years, if not 34 years on the mark. And never in my entire military career have I ever rank and material, peers, subordinates, superiors of the like, officer, NCO, junior NCO, junior enlisted, senior off. Never have I heard within earshot or been in any conversation, and we talk about military installations a lot, especially when you got to move to an installation you may not want to go to. My point being is none of them have ever come up and said, oh my gosh, I don't want to go to that military installation because of who it's named after. I will tell you, probably 90% of the soldiers, okay? 90% of the soldiers, maybe even 95% of the soldiers on any military installation don't know who the fuck Braxton Bragg is. The only ones that will know are the ones that are going to like a soldier of the month, quarter, or year competition board, and they got to know everything about the post to include whom it was named after. And even then, they're just going to know the very basics. They're going to know just what, on the face of things, who this individual was, who was named after, and what they did. But the tie to slavery is not going to be there. Just to be honest, it's just not going to be there. But they still don't know. No soldier ever talks about not going to military installation, or they don't want to go to a military installation because who it's named after. They don't want to go there because the place sucks. Fort Hood sucks. Fort Bliss, it's okay. Fort Bragg, I love Fort Bragg. That was my first duty station when I came active duty. So it's okay, but most people, it sucks. Fort Drum sucks. Anywhere overseas in Afghanistan, Iraq sucks, but never because of who it was named after. Is it really that much of a concern? And look, if they turn around and they rename it, fine. I don't give a shit. Rename it. Absolutely rename it if that's what it's going to be. And the thing is, you know, the military has turned around and extended this olive branch and said, hey, we're going to consider doing this. Okay, got it, fine. But for what purpose? To try to defuse the situation, to try and de-escalate? Okay. But really, that's not the core of the problem. The core of the problem is the police force. That's the issue. Whatever ripple effect that people are throwing at this, it's kind of like, and this is probably a stupid analogy, it's probably similar in nature to, you know, when they try to pass a bill through Congress or the Senate, and the only way that somebody is willing to say yes or give a thumbs up is if they tack, I forgot what the word is that they use for it. But they tack something on a condition, right? They say, okay, yeah, you know what? I'll go ahead and vote yes on this, but you got to give me a 20% pay raise and a Lamborghini if you want me to do it. Right? So it's kind of like this, there's this whole thing with this police officer deal. And now we're talking about street signs. Now we're talking about frickin' statues. And then there's even, and people are just defacing shit that they don't even know about. That has nothing to do with racism whatsoever, but because we're extending this movement, we're right, we need to freaking deface these, we need to deface these monuments that have nothing to do with it. To me, that's ignorance at its best. Do you really need to freaking paint over those? Absolutely not. I mean, I get it. I understand it. But really, come on. We're talking about streets and then post, and then, well, God, we even got to the Washington Redskins. Now they're calling to change the name. Look, I'm not a big NFL fan. I like college more than I like pro, because pro, once those guys get up there, to me, they produce for a little bit, and you know, I got my multi-million-dollar contract. They're going to pay me anyway. I don't have to do ship type thing. Fucking whiny ass crybabies. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. You can unfriend me on Facebook if you don't share my opinion. That's fine. You know, I don't care. I just don't give a fuck about the NFL. And if they change their name, it's not going to be any burden on me. I don't even like the Washington Redskins. And it's not because of the name. I just don't like the team. But to turn around and say, we're no longer going to sell your product, we're no longer going to ship your stuff, FedEx is jumping in. Everybody's jumping in on this political bandwagon because of a name. It's a name. It's been in existence for a while. And yes, may people find it offensive. I'm not dismissing that. I get it. But it's a name. Come on. You know, and then you turn around if you really want to freaking get me to get up and get on a rant. And look, and I turn around. I know you take the risk. No matter what somebody says, if somebody's silent on a subject, somebody's going to turn around and say they're racist. If I'm not silent on this subject, I'm going to be a racist. It's a double-edged fucking sword jammed down my throat, jammed down everybody else's throat. If we can't come together and have an intelligent conversation about what our differences are and go to the core problem, what can we do to fix it? I mean, if you turn around, you want to take down Mount Rushmore, what's next? Statue of Liberty? I mean, come on. If we're really ranting or have problems with these figures, with these John Wayne, now, okay, I get it. He said something way back in the 70s. I mean, I was a young kid then. Whatever, you know, okay, whatever. You know what? Take down all statues. Take down all reference. Take down all monuments. Why not just have nothing and then nobody will have anything to complain about? Fuck it. Just be done with it. I'm talking black, white, Asian, doesn't fucking matter. Take it all down. If the fucking Vietnam War offended you, why not? You're going to take down the memorial. People fucking tag the memorial too. Come on, people. Come on. Really? Are we that fucking petty? We've got to go find something to complain about. I don't like the street name I'm living on. Did you think about that before you moved in? Did your parents think about it before they moved in? I don't get it. I don't understand. All of a sudden, we're finding all these things offensive. It pisses me off to no end. Was that ranty enough? I'm sorry. You know, I apologize, but I don't apologize because look, I'm not going to drop his name, but I lived with a black family my junior, senior year in high school. And it was an eye-opening experience to live in their house, in their culture. Never have I been to church more than one day a week. In their house, it was on Wednesday nights, and it was twice on Sunday. And I learned so much from living with them. I learned a lot. I saw a lot. And you know what? It was the best family I could ever ask to live with. So I've seen things during the course of my friendship with this gentleman that I get it. I don't quite understand it because I'm white. I'm not experiencing what he experienced. I'm not experiencing what maybe his sisters experienced. I can't even begin to fathom what it's like, but I could have an understanding. And that's what we need to do. We need to unite black, white, whatever, and talk about this and say, what can we do to move forward? It's not about we're being made to pay for the sins of the past. And that's fucking asinine. It would be like me going up to a Japanese teenage girl or guy for that matter and make them apologize for fucking Pearl Harbor when they had nothing to do with it. I saw a video. I don't know if it was staged. I saw a video of a young black man behind a camera talking to a young white girl, making her get on her knees and apologize for her white privilege. Why is she being made to pay for the sins of the past? We will never move forward if this is the type, if this is the type of person you're going to be to continue to perpetuate racism to fit a narrative. It's bullshit all across the board. Get together, people. Work together. Anyway, you know what? Let's move on to coffee. How about we talk about coffee? I'm an hour and 5 minutes into bitching with the capital B about everything under the sun. And it wouldn't be me if I didn't, right? Let's talk about coffee. And you know what? Consequently, we're going to talk about tea today too. Because somebody brought up to me going, you know what? You always talk about coffee. You always talk about this brand of coffee, that brand of coffee. And it might be specifically, I've been talking a lot of Iron Bean lately. Like, bleh. Okay, coffee. Speaking of which, coffee. Cold brew it that. So I've been talking a lot of coffee. So before I get into coffee, let's talk tea. Now, I'm going to talk about tea in conjunction with this cold brewer that I bought from Iron Bean Coffee Company. Now, the cold brewer manufacturer is Asobu, A-S-O-B-U, okay? And they collaborated with them to have their logo on their cold brew maker, okay, portable cold brew coffee maker. And I'm also understand that you can also use this for hot coffee as well. I'm pretty sure you could use this for hot coffee because on the instructions it says cold and hot. But specifically, I've been using this as a cold brewer. And I also liked it so much, I bought another one. It's on the way. It's getting here. And so let's get down to the nitty gritty and talk about this. So it's a portable cold brew coffee maker, can be used for hot. It's 34 ounces. Okay. Cold brew on the go means that the bottom half, I'll call it the carafe, right, is portable. It's portable, has a cap on it. I don't know exactly how long it will keep it cold. It is double walled. I'm putting my hand on it right now and the coffee is still pretty much ice cold. You could put ice in it too, but I didn't put any. It just came out of the fridge that way. Let me back up and start off because I'm reviewing this in such a bad way that I'm not giving it justice. So number one, you could go on, if you could either go to asobu.com and order it there. But if you do that, the Asobu brewer is $49.99. Okay. If you don't mind logos or let me put it to you this way. If you want different colors, like copper, black, white, or gray, or slate, and that's something that's your forte, then go to osobu.com and pay your $50 plus tax, okay? But if you don't mind coffee logos on it, and you're going to get out of it what you put into it, i.e. cold brew coffee or cold brew tea, sans the sun, or even hot brew tea or hot brew coffee, then go to Iron Bean Coffee Company. Okay. They're not paying for this. So let me tell you, they're not paying me to say this. Okay. I'm just telling you, you can go right now, cause I'm looking at their website, and you could buy their cold brew coffee maker for $39.99. Now they only have 25 in stock. Okay. But it's the same coffee maker, just has their logo on it. So it's, if you don't mind the logo, you can get this and you could start your cold brew adventures here. So that being said, going back to the brewer itself, the brewer comes in a cylindrical cardboard, case. Awesome. Number one, to rate the case, I give it a 5 out of 5. It protects everything that is inside it. So even if that goes into a box and bounces around, there is no damage that's going to be done to your cold brew maker. Excuse me. Okay. So it's a portable coffee maker. It doesn't need to be in the refrigerator. Okay. So let me put it to you this way. So this is what I've done. I've taken my cold brew coffee maker and I've put it together. And I brewed coffee sitting right on top of the counter and have gone different hours with this. So I'm trying to keep myself straight. So my first brew, now to be clear, they recommend a brew from 12 to 24 hours. Okay. I decided, well, what if? Let's do some flavor tasting here. Let's see what has impact on flavor by the number of hours. So I did a 6 hour brew. I did an 8 hour brew. I did a 10 hour brew. I did a 12. And then I did a 24. Now, the coffee I used a limited edition coffee from Iron Bean Coffee Company called Raging Tiger. And I did it at the 6, 8, 10, 12, and 24 intervals. The impact on taste, obviously, the longer you brew, the more impact on flavor you're going to have. Now, I will say this. I've bought cold brewed coffee or nitro brewed coffee that is mass produced in a can, and it's okay. It's not a preference. I like my coffee hot, but I will tell you, since I started utilizing this cold brew maker and making my own cold brew coffee between the 6 and 24 hour interval, it doesn't have a canned taste. That's what sets it apart. You're utilizing fresh coffee, coarse coffee grind of whatever coffee flavor that you like. Okay. Putting it in the diffuser, pouring your water in, and this is what I've did. So each time from the 6, 8, 10, 12 through 24, I filtered water, which I triple filter. So I've said this before. I have my decanter. I fill it with triple filtered water. So there's a filter from the refrigerator to the dispenser. I take that water and I put it into the giant Brita filter, coffee filter, Brita filter and let it go through. And then I take what's in that one and I put it in my handheld Brita filter. And basically, so there's three triple filtered water and it's cold. That's what I made the coffee out of. Now for the 6 hour, I did on the countertop. For the 8 hour, countertop. For the 10 hour, countertop. 12 hour countertop and 24 hour countertop. Then I went back and I made, and Fred and Chanel, if you're listening, I made the unicorn flavored coffee. Now it doesn't state what coffee flavor it is. So I'm not an expert, but I want to ask, and if you're listening right now, can you text me if I'm right on this flavor tone that I picked up? So I don't know. I know you made different variations. Unicorn is a mystery. It could be this flavor, that flavor, whatever. Did you make a coffee flavor that has a chocolate tone, a chocolate malt tone? Because what I made recently last night, which was a 24 hour, which is, it came to 24 hours, It tasted like, you know, those chocolate malted Whopper balls. That's what it smelled like when I opened the bag, and that's what it tastes like when I drink it. It tastes like a chocolate Whopper. So am I right in my assessment, or did I miss it entirely? So if you're listening to this right now, please let me know. I'm really interested in knowing if I got it right. Regardless, the Raging Tiger, to go back, is a bourbon-infused coffee. I will tell you, it tastes really good as a cold brew. Matter of fact, it fucking tastes great as a cold brew. It doesn't matter whether you go 6 hours or all the way to 24. It is absolutely impeccable flavor. And I firmly believe because it's made fresh, because it's not mass-produced in a can, or it's not nitro-brewed or run through the wickets of a processing station, that's what sells the cold brew for me right now to this moment. I am a fan of making my own cold brew coffee. It is great. And like I said, I liked it so much, I went back online and I sent a text message to both Fred and Chanel. And I said, look, I'm ordering another one, but I want it to be the black on black logo so I could differentiate between, you know, what I'm brewing at the time. It really didn't matter to me anyway, but, I enjoy it so much. I went and bought another one because I want to have that continued flow. And I will tell you, you don't necessarily have to put it in the fridge. You can if you want to. So what I mean is this. So you have your diffuser in the brewing chamber that sits up top. In the middle, I don't know what exactly they call it, but in the middle is let me see if it says what it actually is. No. It does not. Okay. So you can go to the website and see what I'm talking about, but you have the carafe, which is the bottom half. Okay. So think about that as your coffee pot. In the middle, you have the coupler. I think that sounds right. The coupler that joins the carafe at the bottom and the brewing piece at the top with the diffuser. Okay. So let me see if that, so you got the brewing carafe and then you've got your, I'm screwing this up and I was supposed to be better prepared for this. I'm trying to figure out because they don't break it down and I don't have it with me. And that's why I have my problem. I have the carafe, the bottom half with me. I don't have the rest of the components. So I'm totally off on this. Man, I'm just really going off. All right. So let me back up. You have the carafe at the bottom. You have the coupler in the middle. The coupler is what will allow you to transfer the coffee from the brewing piece up top down to the carafe, okay? You do not need to attach the bottom half of the carafe to the coupler. You can just have the coupler and the brewing piece up top. I wish I could frickin'. I'm looking at the doggone website, and it's bugging me not to know the actual nomenclature of the top piece, okay? Okay, so they call it the brewing carafe is what's at the top. It has a super fine stainless steel mesh diffuser inside it, okay? And then the mug, which is a copper double-walled mug. So they're calling the bottom of the mug. Okay, I'm sorry, I found it. So the brewing carafe is up at top, okay? It's made out of a clear plastic or what they're referring to as Triton. Okay, reusable, easy to clean. Wait a minute. I'm screwing this up. So normally, how long have I been in this? Probably because I've been in this an hour and 17 minutes. This is probably the longest podcast I've had in a while. So I apologize. So how about we start over with the components? If you go to the website, you have the brewing carafe, right? So it's plastic, has a lid, and inside it has a diffuser. Okay. It could be used for coffee or tea. What joins the brewing carafe with the mug, I'll call the bottom half the mug, is what I call the coupler. Okay. The coupler and the brewing carafe are joined and sealed. And the top of the lid of the brewing carafe, there is a little rubber detent that plugs and keeps the coffee inside the carafe so it does not drip through the coupler. The coupler has a button that, when pressed, will allow the coffee to flow through and go down into the mug. Okay? So you have three components: the brewing carafe with the diffuser, the coupler, and the mug at the bottom, which I was referring to as the carafe, like a regular coffee maker. But no, we'll just call it a mug, and it's 34 ounces. Okay? So, when you're going to brew, if you don't want to put it in your refrigerator, you don't have to. You can take the brewing carafe and the coupler and the mug and have it all together and leave it out on your countertop. That's fine. But if you really want to keep the cold intensity going through, then all you have to do is put the brewing carafe, attach it to the coupler, put your coffee in the diffuser, and I'll talk about that here in a minute, and then put your water in, put the lid on, make sure the detent covers the hole, because what you don't want is you don't want to keep that hole open. You want to keep it closed, because if you keep it open, that will allow air to come in and possibly it will prevent it if, because it can happen, you don't want any coffee leaking through the coupler. Okay. Now there is a ball detent inside the coupler when you press the button that will push up and allow the coffee to flow through, but it will only flow through if that detent is lifted and opening the hole to allow air to pass. But if you close that detent, air should not pass. Therefore, no liquid should go through the coupler. Okay. You take that after you put it all together and stick it inside the fridge and then keep it in there for however many hours you're going to brew. 6, 10, 8, 12, 24. The instructions say 12 to 24. I've experimented with each. Yes, the flavor is more intense the longer you put it in there. But if you like your coffee light or you like your tea light, then obviously you'll go 6 to 8 to 10. If you do 12 to 24, you're going to have the heavier, bitter, if you will, or more flavorful coffee or tea if you go that route. But I will tell you, this is the perfect brewing station to have at home. I'm glad Iron Bean did a collaboration with it. I've heard of cold brewers before, but never bothered to research them because I don't like cold brew until now. And look, I'm not trying to sell this or oversell it. I think it's worth getting it. Whether you're a tea or a coffee lover, I think you'll get some really good, I feel you'll get some really good benefit out of it altogether. Really, really do. So talking about that, two tea places, because I do like tea. Let me see if they're back up yet. Says store unavailable. Store is currently unavailable due to maintenance. It will be available again shortly. Okay, so I won't be able to talk a lot about them, but if you like some really good flavored teas, go to Phoenix Pearl Tea. That's Phoenix, as in Phoenix, Pearl, Pearlt, all one word, phoenixpearltea.com. Okay. I'd talk about them more, but right now their site is down. It's not going to be permanently down, but I would check it out because they've got some really awesome teas on there. If you can't go there, there is the first tea website that I experienced some years ago. Called Adagio. I believe Adagio, A-D-A-G-I-O. So it's adagio.com, www.adagio.com. They have different flavors. They have samplers. You're talking, they've got jasmine pearls. They've got Earl Grey, Irish breakfast. They've got matcha. And I believe both websites have it. They've got Black Dragon, Scottish. So you have your oolongs, you have your greens. I would tell you the list is endless, and it's been updated since I last used it a couple of years ago. So obviously they have more, but if you like cold brew tea and you could use this for that as well, or even hot brew tea or hot brew coffee, you can utilize the Asobu maker for both. It works. So yeah, go to those websites. I will put those websites in the show notes for you to gain access to if you want to go check them out. I will say this, the prices for the teas, depending on what you get and what you buy, can get a little pricey. Phoenix Pearl Tea, they've got some sales going on. I'm not sure how many ounces they give you, for example, but it can get pricey. I think Adagio is a little bit cheaper in some respects, depending on the type of tea that you get or that you buy, what you're interested in. Okay. Just to throw that out there right away. But both these websites, matter of fact, I ordered some stuff from Phoenix Pearl Tea last week, some limited edition teas that they're making that I won't be able to get for a while or ever once they're released and out. So I really wanted to try them. One of them has a caramel flavor. So I'm itching to see how they pulled that off. So yeah, like coffee, where you could do different infusions and different flavors, they're doing the same thing with tea. So that's just an example. Not sure if caramel floats your boat or caramel flavored tea floats your boat. But there are others there for you. So not just about coffee, because tea has caffeine as well. Just saying. Okay. All right. So as I tell you right now, again, if you want to spend $50 plus tax, you can go to asobu.com. That's www.asobubottle. ASO, it'll take you straight to the bottle. I'm not sure exactly what the total cost is, but they list it as $49.99, comes in four colors. If you don't want to spend that much, if you want to save some money, I'll tell you what, support your small business. Go to Iron Bean Coffee Company. They've got 25 in stock at this moment right now for $39.99. It's the same maker, does the same thing, and they will get it to you as quick as possible. I bought another one, and I will post pictures once I get the other one in. I posted a picture of the original one that I got, and I liked it so much, I bought a second one. I'm going to experiment a little bit more with the cold brews, probably longer brew times, outside of the 24 hours, just to see what it's like. Before we close, staying capacity of the coffee. So I will tell you this. There will be, regardless of the grind, you're supposed to use coarse grind in the diffuser with coffee. I failed to mention that. You will do a coarse grind. They recommend anywhere from 3 to 4 ounces of coffee to be put in the diffuser. This diffuser does not work like a Chemex. Okay, so I need to tell you that right now. A Chemex filter, you can put all the coffee in there, and then you could brew it with the hot water by pouring it slowly over, and it will naturally drip like a regular coffee maker. This diffuser does not work like that. Remember, the coffee is being held in the brewing carafe along with the diffuser and the coffee you put in. So the recommended way to do it is to grind your 4 ounces of coffee, put a little bit at the time, take a little scoop and maybe put one or two scoops in, pour a little bit of cold water over those grinds, get them soaked. And oh, by the way, go ahead and wet down the entire diffuser with the water. Then put a little bit more, go ahead and put some more water, then add a little bit more coffee, a little bit more water. And you want to take the water level all the way up to where, if you put the lid on, the water line is just below the lid. Okay. That is enough to almost fully fill your 34 ounce mug at the bottom of the coupler when you go to finally press the button and let the brewed coffee go through. But yes, it's a little bit of a slow process. I would not recommend dumping all your coffee in and then just pouring it in like a Chemex. I wouldn't recommend that. Because what happens is on the bottom of the diffuser, it's capped. There's no filtration at the bottom. So in my opinion, just kind of just looking at it from a common sense perspective, you're going to lose a lot of that flavor by just dumping all your coffee in and then just pouring water on top of it. It's not going to diffuse well. So a little bit at a time, little bit of water, all the way up until you don't have any more coffee. Once all the coffee's in there, and you still have some space left between the bottom of the lid and the actual top where the lid meets the, when the lid's closed, basically where the water line should be, and basically pour the rest of your water in until it meets that, the bottom of the lid, and you'll be fine. There's YouTube videos out there showing this, their process, talked about the brewing with the carafe and the diffuser taking about 4 minutes. And I think that's from the Osobu website. It may take that long. It may not take you that long. Experiment with different coarse grinds. I mean, you want to keep it coarse.
maybe a more coarse than some, like maybe large, medium. You don't want to go too fine because then the coffee granules, you're still going to get granules in your coffee. Very fine, not that much. But if you go too far, like espresso type grind, it's going to be bad 6 ways from Sunday. You don't want that. Okay. So stick with the coarse ground. As far as the grams or the ounces, I would stick with 4 ounces. I tried going a little bit higher. And it didn't seem to, the coffee didn't settle well in the diffuser by taking it up too much. So 4 ounces is good, regardless of the coffee you're making, whether you're doing a bourbon infused, a flavored coffee, or just a regular, dark roast or medium roast coffee. Stick with 4 minutes and you'll be, 4 minutes, 4 ounces, 4 ounces and you'll be fine. You don't necessarily have to do what I do, triple filter the water or anything like that. I think as long as you just keep the water cold and it's through a filtered source, it does taste great. Don't use tap water. I tell you, do not use tap water. If you got a Brita water filter, if you got a water filter attached to your sink, if you got a water filter in your refrigerator, that should be fine. Just don't go straight tap. I'm telling you, don't go straight tap. I've made coffee with straight tap. It doesn't work. And I wanted to make sure that when I made this cold brew coffee, that it was with filtered water and I did it with inside the fridge, outside the fridge, and the coffee tastes great. Again, going 12-24, you're going to have a more intense flavor. Anything below that is finding your happy medium. But I wanted to experiment to see what it was all about. I mean, my whole thing was questioning 12 to 24. Why 12 to 24? Why not 10? Why not 8? Why not 6? So that's the way I went with that. But I highly recommend getting one if you don't have one. Really, really love it. I will put the link for Iron Bean Coffee Company, cold brew coffee maker, in the show notes along with Phoenix Pearl Tea. Hopefully they get their website up soon, along with, adagio.com. So yeah, absolutely. Okay. I think I've ranted enough. Maybe I ranted too much today. Look, ladies and gentlemen, it's tough times. 2020 fucking sucks. And I would say that we need to be prepared. We need to clear our minds. We need to, find our midpoint, find our zen, because November's coming up. I believe this is election year, and I could only foresee, I'm fully bracing for impact, you know, what's going to happen in November, the result in November, what's our state of mind going to be if we're still in somewhat of a phase of quarantine, what's that going to look like? Okay, so we just have to be kind to each other, we have to be good to each other, we have to respect one another. Being in the military, I'll tell you, with all my compadres, all we see is green. That's what we see. I think we have a better understanding. We respect each other's decisions. We respect each other's points of view. And that's what it is. It's a point of view, right? We should be able to have discussions. I should be able to rant and bitch and gripe and complain about things from what I see from my vantage point. And look, I'm not saying I'm right. I am never going to say I'm right. And if I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. Otherwise, I'm not going to say I'm wrong. It's just a viewpoint. It's just a perspective. I'm seeing something from my foxhole that I want to talk about because I think it's important to get out there. I think it's important to be heard. I think it's important for everybody's voice to be heard in these struggling times that we're going through right now. And onward to that, I don't want to end on a bad note. I really don't want to end on a bad note. Check on each other. Give your friend a phone call. Find out how they're doing. Just recently found out about something happened. He wasn't a personal friend. I didn't know him. He's not an acquaintance, but I read a story about him. He just recently moved to D.C. And went through some times that evidently some demons were haunting him, and the outcome was not great. So check on your fellow woman. Check on your fellow man. Check on everybody. Check on your friends. And make sure that they're doing all right. Ask them if they're okay. And I don't mean to sound like the commercial, but yeah, check on people because you don't know what things like, you know, the situation like this with this COVID and the quarantine and, you know, the racial instability that we're dealing with now. And then soon the doggone election. 2020 is fucked up, but we got to do what we can to make it better. Okay. I think I believe I've said my piece. You think so? I think so. Okay. That being said, I hope I got it. Brenda, I apologize once more. If you have any questions, podcast recording, need any help with anything, you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook. We'll get you squared away. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So yes, I apologize. And, send me more information on your book. And I will also research the information online. I'm not expecting you to do everything. I'll do that as well. But if there's anything in particular that, the advertising on the websites, on Facebook or whatever isn't covered and you want more people to know about it, let me know and I'll put it out on the podcast. Consequently, ladies and gentlemen, I meant to do this. I was going to do this on the front of the, wow, I'm just really going off here. I meant to do this on the front end of the podcast. Look, public service announcement. Okay. When I talk about these companies and mention, hey, go here, go there, try this, try that. Look, they're not sponsors. I am sponsorless. I'm not looking for sponsors. What I like to do is I like to support business. I like to support small business. And that's my firm belief. So what I want to tell you is any of the opinions that I share today are not the shared opinions of any of these companies that I recommend to you. None whatsoever. Okay. So it's important for me to express that for everybody to understand that. And it's not about getting recognition. It's about not about getting notoriety. I just, when I see something that I believe in, that I think is really good, great, whatever, I want to tell people about it. I want people to know. I want to share that experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. I want to share that experience. You know, I have a love for coffee. I have a love for tea. I have a love for anything caffeinated, but coffee is my go-to. I'll just say it. So I'm trying to work to improve. I'm sorry, my rating of this cold brew coffee maker went off really bad. That was not my intention. I think between me ranting and me thinking about really wanting to talk about this, everything just bled together. But again, can't recommend it any more than what I'm telling you right now. That being said, I think this is a good transition point, finding a place to stop. Yes. Okay. Are we ready? I'm ready for me to stop too. No Syntax is a production of Caffeine Driven Media. Music intro is provided by premiumbeat.com. That's www.premiumbeat. I've spoken too long. Not used to this. Sound editing is by Auphonic.com. That's www.auphonic.com. Background music is provided by MelodyLoops.com. That's www.MelodyLoops.com. If you would like to send us an email about today's or other shows, you can email us at NoSyntaxPodcast@gmail.com, or you could post to our website at www.NoSyntaxPodcast.net. You can also follow us on Twitter at NoSyntaxPodcast, or on Facebook at facebook.com/no-syntax. We also want to ask for your help. If you can, spread the word about our show and let people know about it. Let people give a listen. And we also would like you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes if you can. I know there are people out there. Speaking of which, we got a new listener to the show, a new like on the website. And so I want to, if I could, doggone it. I would like to extend a welcome to Jenny Leader Selby, our newest listener to the podcast. Jenny, welcome. We hope you enjoy the shows. I know I received a message from you saying that you were listening to all the podcasts, and hopefully you enjoyed this one the same. Welcome aboard. Fellow new syntaxian. So I just want to say that. But anyway, if you could please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and leave a review, we would greatly appreciate it. It's what gets us, you know, up the chain a little bit, gives us a little bit more exposure. And it doesn't matter, good, bad, or indifferent, we'll still love you. We want the truth. If we suck at what we're doing, if we don't know what the hell we're talking about, if you didn't like what you heard, talk to us about it. We'll have a conversation. I might even bring you on the show. Okay. So that's always a plus. So yeah, let us know, rate us accordingly. Again, good, bad, or indifferent, we'll still love you. Ladies and gentlemen, I know this show ran really long and I ranted like I haven't ranted before. So listen, it's tomorrow's Monday. It's a new week. damn, we're almost through the freaking year. I mean, we're 7 months into the year. Unbelievable. Hope 2021's better. Anyway, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bop, 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 bop.